Let's open our Bibles, this time to Romans and chapter 12. Before I read, I have a confession to make. Before Easter 2015, so that's last year, before Easter, I can't remember what I was preaching on leading up to Easter, but as always, good while before Easter, I was thinking, okay, after Easter, what shall I speak on from Sunday to Sunday? And I was led, just as I reflected and as I prayed, I was led to Romans chapter 12. And I thought, wow, that's great. I could imagine myself working our way through Romans chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And this part of the letter, it's the practical application of the faith. It's if you believe in God, this then is how you should live. And so I was getting ready to start a series on Romans chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. But at almost the last moment, I had qualms about it. And I thought, I can't just start at Romans chapter 12. What I really need to do is start at Romans chapter 1 and tell the whole story of chapters 1 to 11. And then we can understand, okay, with all of this in view, chapters 1 to 11 in view, and then we can get on to the practical stuff. And it has taken us, how long? Okay, it's taken us 13 or 14 months to get here. But finally, we're here where I always intended us to be. So what we've had is the introduction. And if every introduction takes 13 or 14 months, well, okay. So we're finally here. I'm very glad we are here. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Today, we're going to look particularly just at this opening verse here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And of course, as I've just hinted, this comes after 11, what we have as 11 chapters of this letter. And everything that follows is as a response to what we've heard in the first 11 chapters of this letter. And we shall reflect on that in just a moment. But the key question we face as we read this verse is, what does it mean to offer our bodies as living sacrifices? What does that mean? We might often think of a sacrifice as something that is killed, the end of a life. And yet the stress here is upon being a living sacrifice. So continuing to live and yet being in some way a sacrifice. So that really is a key question we need to ask at this point. What does that mean? But before we get to what does that mean, I want to ask another question. Why? Why should any of us seek to offer our bodies as living sacrifices? Two key questions. What does it mean? But first, why should we? And that's often a little person question, isn't it? Why? Why should I? Because I say so, you know. Why? And yet, we dismiss the why question so often. But in fact, it's the most important question. It's the most important question about our Christian faith. Why do you believe? Often we can say, this is what I believe. But actually, the more important question is, why do you believe it? Why do you live as you live? And this is a question not just for Christians. It's a question for everybody. I heard, was it last week, a survey by St. Mary's University in Twickenham. They have now worked out that there are, I think I'm right in saying, there are more folk of no religion in this country than there are of Christian religion. I think I'm right in saying. So there are more people who sign on their census form or whatever it is as being of no religion than being Christian. And for them, as well as for Christians, as well as for Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists, as well as anybody who might say agnostic or atheist, the key question is not actually what do you believe? The key question is why? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you take the stance you take? And so it is a critical question for us. When we look at a verse like this, it's necessary to ask, what on earth does it mean? Living sacrifice, what does that mean? But actually, the more important question we need to ask first is, why? Why offer your body as a living sacrifice? And there are three answers that we are given in these verses. First of all, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies. And then secondly, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is what pleases God. That's a good reason to do it. And thirdly, because it is, what the passage says, is a spiritual act of worship. So the Apostle Paul, in making this suggestion, this challenge, this encouragement to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, he gives the reason. Why should you do it? Three reasons. In view of God's mercy, it is holy and pleasing to God. It is your spiritual act of worship. So in view of God's mercy, how do we unpack that? How do we understand that I am to offer my body as a living sacrifice in view of God's mercy? In other words, reflecting upon what God has done for me. The Apostle Paul says, because of what God has done, it's a good reason for you in response to offer your body as a living sacrifice. So we could say, well, God is good and God has been good to you. God is good and God has been good to you. We can say that God is love. As we have said and repetitively over the last few months, God is love and loves you with an everlasting love. And this is one of the key messages we've picked up as we have reflected on Romans chapters 1 through to 11. This is one of the key things, that God is good and has been good to you. God is love, and he loves you with an everlasting love. His love will never fail. His love will never end. His love is abundant and vast. And that is the crux of the matter in many ways. So in view of God's mercy, in view of the fact that God is good, in view of the fact that God is love, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices because God forgives every sin you have ever committed. And he is willing to do so, and he wants to forgive your sin. Because every time, the Bible talks about our sin and the things that we get wrong, and talks about it in terms somehow of a barrier between us and God. And so God forgives our sin because he wants relationship with us just as much as he wants us to have relationship with him. So what is God going to do? Going to stand back and say, no, you put the barrier up, you can get rid of the barrier. God so desires relationship with us. He says, I know who put the barrier up. I know who sinned. But look, I'm going to forgive your sin. I'm going to deal with the barrier. I'm going to make sure it's always open, you and I, so that we can have a relationship. So we could say, in view of God's mercy, let's offer our bodies as living sacrifices because God is good, because God is love, because God forgives sin, because God welcomes you into his family. The Lord Jesus, when he spoke about God, how did he speak about God? Father. Father. He got into lots of trouble because he spoke about God as Father. And yet that was the encouragement, is for us to see God not as a distant deity, aloof from us, distant from us, wanting nothing to do with us, but actually as a loving Father who cares for us. And God welcomes us into his family. So in view of God's mercy, let's offer our bodies as living sacrifices. In view of God's mercy, because he is good, he is love, he forgives our sin, he welcomes us into his family. Or we could say, well, this is a good response, because God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is present with us because of the Holy Spirit. So God absolutely is not distant from us. He's not aloof from us. But he walks with us day by day by day. So the first reason that the Apostle Paul gives, an answer to the, why should I offer my body as a living sacrifice? In view of God's mercy. This is what God has done for you. God is good. God is love. God forgives your sin. God welcomes you into his family. God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the first reason that we have in the passage. The second is, we are told, where the Apostle Paul writes, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Holy and pleasing to God. It may be for us a deep question. What can I do that might please God? Is there anything I can do that will please God? Our experience of our parents may be that it didn't matter what we did, they never seemed to be happy with us. And that certainly is some people's experience of parents. It doesn't matter what you did, they never seemed to be happy with you. There was always something wrong. That is true with some people, isn't it? You find some people, it doesn't matter what you do, they're never happy. The Apostle Paul says, here's a really good reason why you should offer your body as a living sacrifice. First, because in view of God's mercy, in other words, in response to everything that he's done. But also because if you want to please God, offer your body as a living sacrifice. This is what pleases God. God rejoices in your life. God rejoices in your life. God delights in all you do. And this, I know, sometimes comes as a surprise to people, that God rejoices in you. God delights in everything that you do. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that so often in church we have, and then going out from church, we have communicated an image of God who is so obsessed with our sin, who is so fixated on stuff that's gone wrong, that God is an angry God all of the time. And I think that's, you know, it's probably the blame of preachers, you know, a lot of the time. And yet, what does the Bible encourage us to see? That God is good, that God is love, that God delights in you, that God is pleased with you, God rejoices in you. And so the Apostle Paul says, because this is true, because God does delight in you, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. You want to please God? Offer your body as a living sacrifice to him. So two reasons so far, in view of God's mercy, and then secondly, because it is holy and pleasing to God. And then the third reason is, in the passage, this is your spiritual act of worship. Some people say, well, this word spiritual, this is your spiritual act of worship. Better put, this is your reasonable act of worship. This is normal, natural, straightforward act of worship. To offer your body as a living sacrifice. And this is your way of responding to God's love and kindness. So the first reason why should you offer your body as a living sacrifice? Because of what God has done. In view of God's mercy, because of everything we've read from Romans chapter 1 through to chapter 11, God is good, he loves you, he forgives you, he welcomes you, he gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because it's pleasing to God. You want to see a smile on God's face. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. It pleases him. It delights him when he sees that response. But then it's your spiritual act of worship. And in fact, this is worship. I reckon sometimes we think that worship is what we do in church. That's it. We can compartmentalize. I don't know if you are good at compartmentalizing your life. Some people are. And we can compartmentalize our life and say, well, worship is what I do when I come to church, when I read the Bible in church, and when I sing and when I pray in church. And that is worship. Sometimes we might say in a service, and now we are going to worship God. What we really mean is now we're going to sing. And it may be that we'll extend that idea of worship to our everyday lives and say, well, I worship God this morning. Probably what we mean is I sang or I prayed. And yet the Apostle Paul says, if you want to worship God, you haven't got to go to church. You haven't got to go to a temple. You've just got to live your life. Offering your body as a living sacrifice. This is normal. This is natural. This is straightforward. It's uncomplicated. It's just about taking who you are and offering it to God. Saying this, from Sunday through to Saturday, everything I do, this is my act of worship. So those are the three reasons that the Apostle Paul gives. If we're looking for answers to the question, well, why should I do it? Why should I do it? In view of God's mercy. The second one is, it's holy and pleasing to God. It pleases God. And this third one, it is your spiritual act of worship. This is a normal, completely normal, natural, straightforward, practical thing for you to do. So what does it mean to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice? Number of comments here. First, it is a deliberate choice. Offering your body as a living sacrifice is not something that happens accidentally. It's not something that happens just by chance and you're living your life and suddenly you look back and go, wow, how did that happen? It doesn't happen like that. But you choose to offer your body as a living sacrifice. You choose. And that's why the Apostle Paul is saying, he begins this section by saying, therefore, I urge you. Therefore, I urge you. Because it's not something that people are going to do by accident. It takes a deliberate choice. I choose to do this. I want to respond to God. I want to do anything that is pleasing to God. I want to worship God with my life. And so I choose to offer my body as a living sacrifice. It involves all of you, all these very, I guess, very obvious things. It involves all of you. And I think this is exactly why the Apostle Paul picks up on this phrase, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It involves all of you. It doesn't allow for compartmentalization. It doesn't allow for you to say, well, I will serve God with this part of my life. I'm actually pretty good in that area of my life, so I'll worship God with that part of my life. I have this particular gift, this ability, so I'm going to serve God with this gift or ability. To use this phrase, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, it does involve all of you. So my head, my mind, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my hands, my arms, my body, my legs, my feet, everything I do with my hands, everywhere I go with my feet, etc. It involves all of me, everything I write, all the music I play, everything I listen to, all that I read, you know. We could go on and on, you know. Everything I cook, you know, everything I eat. When you begin to reflect on it, the totality of the image that the Apostle Paul is trying to get his readers to connect to, it involves all of you. The third thing is, very simply, it is a life that is lived. It is you living your life day by day by day by day. So at no point can we say, okay, you know, I've been working really, really hard. I'm going to take time out and I'm going to worship God. As if I wasn't worshiping God beforehand. For the Apostle Paul, he lived and had grown up within a tradition where people went to the temple to pray, or they went to the synagogue to have the scriptures read and to discuss and to pray. And much like us within our culture, that sense of I go somewhere to worship, I go somewhere to pray or to hear the Bible. And this extraordinary image, because God has been so good to you, because God is good, God is love, God is generous, God is open to you. Don't just worship God in one part of your life. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. It is your whole life that is lived. And so it's true to say it is practical, it is physical, it is earthy, and it's engaging. It's very down to earth. And one thing I think this image of offering your body as a living sacrifice, one thing it does is that Worship is no longer just the grand and the wonderful and the awesome and the perfect. But our worship then becomes everything. Our worship becomes even the mundane, even the ordinary, even the things that we do every day after day after day after day after day. Even that is our worship to God, is our response to God. The boring things, as well as the exciting things. Those moments when we have the eureka moment, when the light switches on and we see something new and wonderful, that's included, but also the things that we've never even thought about, but we just do by habit. Everything is included, and it's practical, it's physical, it's earthy, and it's engaging. Everything is included, it seems to me, in this offering our bodies as living sacrifices, because if it includes you, then it's involved. And it is modelled upon the life of the Lord Jesus. It is modelled upon the life of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, in his life, lived, I think, precisely what the Apostle Paul is speaking about. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Some people may say, well, the point of a journey is arriving at the destination. Have you thought that? You know, that's the exciting bit, isn't it? When you get there, when you arrive, that's the point. Do we really have to, you know, go through this journey? You know, one of those other phrases that we hear from little people. Are we there yet? You know, oh, crikey. Do we have to keep going? Because often we see the journey as, well, it's just, we do it because we have to. But actually, the destination's what we're after. This phrase, offering our bodies as living sacrifices, it's almost saying, look, the destination, yeah, but actually, the journey is as important as the destination. And if you don't do the journey, you're never going to get there. And the life of Jesus is a life lived out as a living sacrifice. Some people speak about Jesus as if the only really important thing he ever did was at the end of his life. When he died on the cross, that was it. And some folk may say, well, you know, Jesus came to die. Jesus was born so that he could die on a cross. And I don't think the Apostle Paul believes that for a second. But the whole of the life of Jesus was a living sacrifice. And therefore, when we read earlier from Philippians chapter 2, speaking about Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But what does he do? We're told Jesus made himself nothing, took on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to death on a cross. Jesus, at the beginning of his life, laid down his life as a sacrifice. Jesus, at the beginning of his life, says, I'm going to live my life for God. I'm going to lay down my life as a sacrifice, and I'm going to live every day for God. And so our lives are to be modelled on the example of the Lord Jesus, who was a living sacrifice all through his life, not just at the end, not just at a moment, but his whole life was offered to God every moment of every day. So this encouragement to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's a deliberate choice. It involves all of you. It is a life that is lived. It is practical, physical, earthy, and engaging. And it is modeled upon the life of the Lord Jesus. And it is fundamentally about love. It is fundamentally about love. And as I've often reflected on the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is asked by somebody who's a good teacher, a religious person, says to Jesus, okay, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Should I do something spiritual? Should I do something wonderful? And the answer is, love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then when that teacher questioned that, Jesus told a story about the Good Samaritan. And we might say, in that story, where is anything mysterious? Where is anything spiritual? Where is anything that we couldn't do? Because that story is very practical. It's very engaged. It's very earthy. And Jesus said, in that story, who was that man's neighbor? And the man said, the teacher says, the man who showed him mercy, the man who helped him. Go and do likewise. You go and do it. So, to live a life as a living sacrifice, to offer our bodies, who we are, as living sacrifices, is to follow the example of Jesus, to love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbor in as much as we love ourselves, and to love whatever the cost. Jesus said, if you would come, if you would follow me, if you would be my disciple, then you've got to take up your cross and follow me. And Jesus, in saying that, was saying, if you want to come and follow me, well, you need to learn to love whatever the cost. Even if they crucify you for loving, you will never stop loving. You will never stop caring. You'll never stop forgiving. You'll never stop being merciful and kind and generous. And so the encouragement right at the beginning of this particular section is offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is not a mysterious thing. This is not a particularly spiritual thing. It's not something that is out of reach for any of us. It is just about us making a choice. Lord, I want to offer my body as a living sacrifice, as an act of worship to you. And I'm going to start right now. Everything I do from this moment on, if I haven't already, from this moment on, this is going to be my act of worship. Some of it will be amazing. And I'll be impressed, and I'll wonder if God is impressed because of the amazing things that I do. But much of it is going to be really mundane and ordinary. But Lord, even that I want to be my act of worship, saying thank you to you because you are good to me. And so right at the end, we have the verse that we began with. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Let's pray for a moment together. Gracious Father, we thank you that you are love, that you are kind, that you are merciful. Father, thank you that you are close to us. And Father, thank you today for this really simple, straightforward, practical encouragement that everything we do can be an act of worship. And that's our determination today, gracious Father, that everything that we are and everything that we do and everything we say and think might be an act of worship, offering to you. Father, we know that there is nothing in us that is hidden from you, nothing in us that surprises you. You know everything that we are. And so we take the choice to offer it all to you. And we thank you that it delights your heart when we do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.